say happy birthday. And we sang to you, didn't we? Okay. I wasn't going to sing to you on the microphone, but I would sing to you off mic. I think the only person I've ever sang happy birthday to on the microphone was Brother Larry Baker. So anyways, well, welcome to Parish Christian Center, everyone. If you're visiting us today, welcome. I wanted to let you know that Parish Christian Center is an interdenominational ministry, and so all faiths are welcome here. And so we want you to feel welcome. And I'm going to ask you now to stand to your feet. We do this every single Sunday morning. And we do it because in a week's time, it is so easy to get discouraged or feel defeated, to want to quit, to feel overwhelmed, to feel all of the stresses that life may be throwing at you. But you know what? You're standing right now. You're standing. And God saw it fit to keep you on your feet. And so I thank God for each and every person that's under the sound of my voice right now. If you've had a difficult week, maybe you're stressed about something, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hands because I believe God is going to meet you right where you're at. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for every single person that's here today. God, I thank you for all of the mothers that are here. Lord, I thank you, God, for everything that you're going to do in this service. Lord, for every person, God, where they're sick in their body, God, I ask that you would make them well right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for healing that is flowing through their bodies, God, every cell. Lord God, I believe that they are healed from the top of their head, Lord, to the soles of their feet. God, for every person dealing with depression and anxiety and stress and fear, God, I thank you right now that that is being replaced with the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, for the families in here where they need some extra help, God, I ask that you'd bless them in their finances, Lord God. And we thank you for everything, Lord, that you're doing. God, you're the best God, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, y'all may be seated. And I am happy to be in God's house, and I am going to make an announcement. Miracles do happen. I'm going to try to end the service a smidge on the early side, Keisha, because it's Mother's Day, and one of the busiest restaurant days of the entire year is Mother's Day. And if you guys are going to take your mom out, I want you to be able to be there at first. I'm a very competitive pastor. Now, I joke a lot, and if that is offensive to you, well, you're going to have to get over your offenses, because I'll probably do it a few more times within the service. But if you are a mother and you are in this service, I'm going to ask you to please come up here, kind of make a line, because you know what? Mothers deserve a whole lot of, well, don't all get up at one time. It's like, wait a minute. All you moms, y'all come up here. Frank, can I get my camera out? I want a picture of all these mamas because they are so fabulous. Half the church just got up. What does that tell you? Amen. Isn't that great? If you are a mother, I want you to come on up here. We want to get you good and embarrassed. I'm just kidding. And we're so blessed today. We've got Granny B here. I haven't seen her in a long time. I'm glad that she's with us today. What a blessing. Amen. Isn't this amazing? That's right. Well, I am going to say a prayer over all these moms. All you moms, if you're not a germaphobe, take one another by the hand. If you are a germaphobe, I don't know what's wrong with you because you're a mother. You've probably had snot and everything else on you at one point in time. So I'm going to pray. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that we're so blessed with all of these moms. God, you know right now every desire of their heart, every fear, every anxious thought. And Lord, I thank you that you're meeting them right where they're at right in this moment, Lord. And I ask that you would bless them. God, if they're concerned about their children today, Lord, I thank you that you're giving them peace. God, where that concern has been, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, mamas, as you go, I want you to get a Mother's Day gift, okay? Now, if we run out, I've got more in the back. See me after church. But everybody grab one of those Mother's Day gifts, and they're all the same. Grab one, and y'all can go as you get your gift and sit down like good mothers. That's what Miss Rocky said. I didn't say that. I have to be careful what I say. People tell me how offended they are about whatever I said. We are so blessed with all these moms. I love your dress.
Thank you.
I missed the thing about it being green day. I feel like more people are wearing green, and I didn't get that memo. All righty. You know, just a funny little story. When I was little, we were in church all the time. I've grown up in the ministry, and I used to sit on my mother's lap. And I was one of those kids. I was just terrible, just hyper. I was everywhere. They used to call me the white tornado because my hair was bleached blonde, and all you could see was kind of like a little flash. And they used to call me the white tornado. And because I was just all over the place all the time. I was one of them kids. And I used to, my mom would sit kind of in the front, and I would get on her lap, and I would squirm around, just drive her crazy. And she used to tell me, she would let me know a few things, and I'm sure that you moms can relate. She would say, Kelly, you have got to stop that because this is not a mommy dress. Which meant if you don't stop squirming on me, something in this outfit is going to come out and it doesn't need to or something. And so I learned to ask her, are you wearing a mommy dress today? And she most of the time would, because the only thing that really got me good is when she would like harness me in. And so she would keep a good hold on me. But you know, it takes a lot of strength to be a mother. It really, really does. And I have preached a lot of Mother's Day messages, and I thought, you know, God, what do you want to say to the moms today? And so I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at we're going to start in verse 26. And it says here, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And I want to tell every single mom today, you're highly favored. You are highly, highly favored. I know that many times as a mom, it can be, can I just be real? It can be exhausting at times. It can be overwhelming at times. How many of you moms have ever thought at some point in your motherhood, am I doing good enough? Am I enough? Am I doing a good job for these kids of mine? You question yourself a lot, and sometimes you think, I'm going to strangle this kid. I'm going to just flat out strangle them. But somehow we don't. We don't strangle them, and we try to raise them as best as we can. But I want to tell you this morning that you're highly favored. You're highly favored. And I also want to tell you that God's with you. God's with you. There's a lot of times where moms feel very alone. How many of you moms out there, at some point, you've felt very alone? Amen. Amen. I remember when I was believing God to have children, and it just wasn't happening. It just absolutely, I was just coming up against a wall, tried and tried and tried. Nothing was going on. And God spoke to me, and he said, you know, Kelly, you need to just create this nursery. Don't worry about the baby. The baby's coming, but you need to make it like it's so. And so many times we get discouraged as people, as moms and as dads. We're believing God for something, and it just doesn't look like it's happening, or maybe it's not happening when we want it to. How many of you are impatient? Bobby, this is a true thing about me. I'm probably the most impatient person, which is terrible to be a pastor and be impatient. But when I start thinking about going to a restaurant, and if I think I'm going to have to wait at the line, I will get anxiety just about the thought of possibly having to wait in the line. I'm like, ugh. So I was praying for my children, didn't have them, and God said, just go on like you have them. Go on like you have them. And that's faith. That's faith. If you're believing God in some area for your children, believe them. Believe God. Do not stop believing God for your kids. If they're zigging when they should be zagging, look here, that doesn't change you as a mom. That doesn't change you as a mother. Act like it's so. You know, the Word gives you a promise. It says, train your child up in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they won't depart from it. Now look here. They may act like they're going to depart. They may think that they're going to depart. But God's not somebody that's going to lie to you. In the end, you're going to be fine. Your child's going to be fine. So here it says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. In verse 34, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I want to tell you moms out there that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. I began to think yesterday about all of the stuff about Mother's Day, and I have sat, how many of y'all have sat through your fair share of Mother's Day sermons? I have. And you know what I realize the older that I get is that Mother's Day for everyone is not necessarily a happy day. There's people that maybe you didn't grow up with a good mom. Maybe your mom is no longer living. Maybe you were adopted and you never got to meet your biological mother. You know, there's so many things that could affect a person on Mother's Day. And so I'm very sensitive to people because I understand more now than ever that it may be a hard day for you. I don't know what you've lived in your life, but I want to tell you something. God knows. God knows exactly what you're going through today. If you're finding yourself in a bind, if you're struggling in an area of your life, and this is for everyone, not just moms, God knows exactly where you're at. He knows every single tear that you've cried about that situation. He knows every moment of fret. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? So here's Mary. And how many of you can say, you know, God has told me some things about my kid, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, how's that going to happen? I went to Carson Paul's parent-teacher conference. And I always get scared of those because I'm like, I know I'm half nuts, and I know he's a stinker, but I also know me, and I'm like, now if somebody talks about this child, I'm not sure how I'm going to react to that. So I go, And I sit down and I tell them I'm Carson's mama. And they proceed to tell me how great that he is and how wonderful that he is. And I was so relieved. They all said it. He's the perfect student. I said, boy, I'm so glad we were on the same page about that. I didn't know if I was going to be in a defensive mode or what kind of mood we were going to go with today, but y'all just sealed the deal. Thank you for teaching them and putting up with them. Glory be to God. But you know what? There's times where we get concerned about our children. How is this going to happen? You know, when I had my boys, God did. He said, you know what? Just act like they're on the way. And I got Carson a little cardinal hat. And it was just a tiny little thing. And Jill, when I would get discouraged about not having children, I would go in that nursery that I made, and I would get that little hat, and I would just sit on that bed in there, and I would just cry, and I would tell God, God, I want a baby. And I'm thanking you for that baby right now. And he began to talk to me. And you know what? A few years before Carson was born, I already knew that we were going to have a son and that we were going to name him Carson. And I'm going to tell you something. God knew which child to give you. Right. How many of you got a hard, headstrong kid? I feel you. My mother had one also. It was me. Is it him? We won't tell him. It's okay, Rocky. Your secret's safe with us. You know what? Hard-headed people are some of the most amazing people. Amen? Don't get discouraged. Don't fret because, see, God's going to take up your concerns. And so Mary said, you know what? How is this going to work out? I've not even been with a man. How is this going to work? And the angel told her. And she says something amazing that I believe that every grown-up, every person under the planet, you have to come to this place, but every mother's got to come to this place also. In verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, and may it be to me as you have said. Okay, God, you're going to give me this child. You've told me what to name him. You've told me what his calling is. You've told me his destiny. You've told me how you were going to bring it about. May it be exactly what you said. May it be exactly what you said. And you know what? I want to encourage every mother out there today. If you're in a place where you're struggling in that motherhood, you know, I struggle. Just this week, I was saying to myself, Angel, I kind of had myself a moment. Any other moms have pity parties? Because I have them. And Keisha's going, not me. Let me tell you something. What's your name? Trista. Trista, your mother is so proud of you. She is very proud of you. But there is something very sweet about Keisha. Whenever she talks about you, this is what she says. This is how she starts it. My little girl. She always says that. Every time she's ever talked to me about you, she goes, well, my little girl. That's why I had to ask you your name. And I've always thought that was so sweet. Because you're all grown up now, and you're still her little girl. So, anyways, that is very sweet. I don't know what story I was telling. I'll figure it out. May it be to me as you have said, pity parties. I was having myself one this week, and I was asking God, Lord, am I being a good enough mother? Coco, I believe last Sunday, he was in one of these back classrooms. And if you're a preacher's kid, you're in the church house more than any other kids. You practically live here. And he was fiddling around in the prizes and in the candy and stuff. I told him he could because that would keep him occupied for at least 1 minute. And he'd come out of there with some candy. And if you're one of them moms that likes to measure every ounce of sugar your kids get, let me tell you something. They're going to be sneaking it behind your back. I'd rather them eat it in front of my face. So here's Coco, and he said, Mom, can I have this candy? It was in the prize box. I said, absolutely. Yeah, you can have two of them if you want. And he sits there and thinks about it. He goes about his business. He comes back, and he still has the candy in his little hand. And he said, you know, I really didn't earn this, so I'm going to put it back. Let me tell you something. He's crying right now. This is the best little kid. And there has been so many times where I've sat there and thought, I'm the worst mother ever. I lost my temper. I told my kid to shut up. I that. I told them no, they couldn't have that at Walmart. We go through all of these things in our head that makes us feel like we're not enough. And you know, that's really just the devil. That's really just the devil. And if I could say one thing to Mom, if you don't hear anything I say, you're enough. You're enough. Amen. The devil may try to make you feel guilty about little things that's happened in your motherhood, but let me tell you something. You're still going, and you're wonderful. You're enough. And we have to be able to say, okay, God, you've told me this about my child. Exactly how you've said, Lord, that's how it's going to be. God will tell you things about your kid. They may be horrifying. Sometimes I laugh because I watch my mom and dad, especially when I first took the church over. And I would watch them watch me. And they kind of looked up tight for a little bit, Tanya. And now I think about it and I'm like, I bet they were horrified. They worked their entire life to build something, and then they hand it over to their youngest kid, and they watch me. And it's, you know, but let me tell you something. Just like Hannah gave her child up to the Lord, she goes, you know, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give them right back to you. Amen. She did. Amen. One of the things that my parents taught me as a parent is that God gave you those kids. You can have them all the birthday parties. You can buy them all the stuff. You can do all the things. But if you will not raise them in church, if you will not give them back to the Lord, you are robbing them of the most wonderful soul-saving thing that you could ever give them. When I was 7 years old, I remember kneeling down to the ugliest brown sectional that has ever been on the planet. And I gave my life to the Lord. If you can't give them the inheritance of introducing them to Jesus, you're not giving them really anything. Amen. Amen. Go with me now to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 41 through 52. And we're still talking about Jesus. And it says here, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind him in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. How many of your kids have ever gotten lost somewhere? That's probably the hardest that your heart has ever beat in your entire life is when your kid is lost someplace. So here's Mary, and her kid is lost. It says that the parents were unaware of where the kid was. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. I don't think I could get away with that. My kids talk way too much for that. Do y'all have any chatty kids? The other night, we were sleeping. And Frank goes, it was like in the middle of the night. And Frank goes, Kelly, Colton is in the bathroom on the other side of the house, and he's calling for you. And sure enough, he was. And this is what he does. Mom. 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 From the moment he's awake till the moment he goes to bed, he's saying Mom. Now, this is probably something that I shouldn't admit, but how many of you have ever thought, I would just like to not be called Mom for like 2 seconds? Can you call me something else? Because I'm sick of that. I'm sick of hearing that. Mom, Mom. I said, Frank, I'm not getting up. Because if I get up, that kid is going to have me waiting on him hand and foot. And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. So I didn't get up. So the next day I said, Colton, were you up at 2 o'clock in the morning calling for me? He said, yeah, I sure was. I said, what were you doing? He goes, I was in the bathroom. Just wanted some company. I was like, well, no, we won't tell him what you really wanted.
I didn't say that.
Anyways, this child calls me Mom more than I think Carson has ever thought about calling me Mom. But on my days where I want to throw a pity party, I remember asking God for these children. And I remember that they're God's first. I remember when I first had kids, Dad said, you know, Kelly, what you got to ask God is you got to say, God, what are we trying to build here with this child? What are we trying to build? And then you go from there. So here they were. Jesus is lost. And it says, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. And then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. So here they were. How many of you would be irritated if your kid was lost for 3 days? And then you find them and they're just... So my mother probably is the most Proverbs 31 lady I've ever met. I don't even know how they make people that good. But I didn't inherit any of that. It stopped with her, I'm pretty sure. And I remember the worst thing that my mother has ever said to me in my life. The meanest thing. Y'all want to hear it? We're going to tell on Sister Millie. Y'all don't want to hear what she said? It's pretty awful. I think we were getting something done with our plumbing. Now, we lived out in the country, and I remember when they put city water there, and that was a big deal. And I was really little, and there was no toilet. That would irritate me already to have no plumbing going on with the kids, you know. If you don't have plumbing, the kids are going to need to go to the bathroom twice as much. That's just how kids are. So there was no toilet. There was some type of issue. So she did what any mother would do. She got a 5-gallon bucket. She put it in the laundry room. And I was having one of those days where I was being like Colton, and I was getting on her last nerve, and I was talking to her. So she has no plumbing, no water going on, and I'm just chitter-chattering nonstop. And as God is my witness, she looked at me, and she squatted down, and she got eye level with me, and she goes, Kelly, will you just shut up? That's the meanest thing that she's ever said to me, ever. And I've done some stuff to that lady. One time she was whipping me, and I turned around, and I said, do you feel better? She goes, I will when your daddy gets home. So I went in the laundry room, and I sat down on the 5-gallon bucket that she brought in there for all of our bathroom trips. I just sat in there and cried. My big sister, Casey, came in. She goes, oh, my gosh, Kelly, what's wrong? I was weeping. I said, "You're never going to believe what our mother just said to me." And I was crying. And Casey, she loved when I got in trouble. And I got in trouble all the time. She goes, "What did she say?" I said, "She told me to shut up. Can you believe her?" Casey goes, "If I was you, I'd shut up." But here's Jesus' parents, and they're going, "You've been missing for 3 days. We've been worried sick about you for 3 days. Why have you treated us like this?" How many of you ever asked that question to yourself? Let's get really real. How many of you parents, men included, you have ever said to yourself, "Why is my kid treating me so badly?" Both my parents were like, "Yep, I was." Look here. That's a part of parenthood. If you don't feel like your kids have ever treated you bad, maybe they've been ungrateful, maybe, you know, if you feel like you've been disrespected by them, look here, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that you've felt in your parenthood, everything you've felt as a mom, everything that you've felt as a dad, it's been felt before. Don't get so discouraged that you think my kid's a lost cause. They're not a lost cause. They're testing you. They're testing you. And you know what? You need to get real creative. I went through a season, it's probably about 3 or 4 years ago, where Carson would get in trouble with little things. It was just little things. And I would think, I can't get through to this kid. Y'all ever had a kid like that where you're like, "I don't feel like I'm getting through this kid"? And I felt like God was saying, "Kelly, be creative." And I thought, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to be creative." I got the laundry basket, took all them socks. We got a lot of socks. We could probably never wear the same pair for a year. I took all the mates, set them aside, brought the laundry basket. "Carson, I want you to match all these socks." Look here. He was crying just as much as I did. I said, "Okay. You couldn't match the socks, could you? Don't test me anymore." Now, if you think that that's child abuse, I've been a lot more creative than that. I've told my kids before, "Look, I got to provide you 3 square meals a day and a roof over your head. This could get a whole lot worse. If you don't stop, you're not getting dessert." "What?" They think dessert is a part of the meal. And I'm like, "No, that's the extra thing. That doesn't mean you get it when you're terrible." So why have you treated us like this? And he says, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And one of the things that I can tell each mom is there's things about each child, and you're just going to have to treasure them in your heart, and you're going to have to put them to prayer. I remember one of my best memories of my mother, and I'm sharing a lot of stories because my mom is a very, very quiet person, but she was a dang good mother, and she still is to this day. And I was going out with this boy. And he was bad news from the get-go. And my little heart broken like a million pieces when we broke up. How many of you ever had to deal with your kid's little broken heart? It's awful. And I was on my way to the Clarksville Super Center. And we were driving in Mother's old RAV4. And I was crying. I was telling her, I'm never going to be the same. This is awful. And my heart's just broke. And we had this thing when we were little. I was a tomboy to the very core. But when it was just me and Mom, I liked to hold her hand in the car. And I was like 18, 19 years old when we were driving this particular instance. And I was telling her what a wreck I was and how I'd never be the same. And she just grabbed my hand and held it all the way to Walmart. And she said, Kelly, it's over. It's over. What's happened has happened, and it's over. And you can cry about this, or you can cry your last tear about it, but it's over. And you're going to be better, and it's going to end up okay. And let me tell you something. God will use you in your kid's life over and over and over. And many times when they won't listen to anybody else, they'll listen to their mama. Many times when they're in trouble in life as adults, they're going to want their mama. When I finally had Carson, I thought, I can do this. Just a 7-pound baby. I can do this all on my own. She goes, well, I'm going to come over and just, I'm going to take care of you while you take care of your baby. But you're my baby. I'm going to take care of you. I thought, I don't need that. Let me tell you something. When she would go home at night, I would cry. I would look at Carson and I would cry. And I was thinking, why am I crying? It was because she left me with him. I didn't know what to do with him. So we both would sit there and cry, me and Carson, till she'd come back the next morning. And Mother never had any boys. And I had never had kids at all. And so I thought I knew everything. How many of you have ever watched people that just have babies and they think they know it all? Them are the worst people because they don't know nothing. I said, Mom, this is a boy and you never had boys. But I'm going to tell you, this is what you're going to have to do. We got him circumcised. That's probably too much information for you, but I'm going somewhere with this story. I said, you're going to have to get a butter knife and Vaseline, and we're going to take the diaper and we're going to line that diaper with Vaseline for him. I don't want him to feel any pain from his little surgery. Let me tell you what. Tyler, Mama listened. If you've ever had Mother make you toast, when she gets a butter knife out and she starts applying, I don't care what it is, butter, Vaseline on the diaper, I don't care what it is, she will do what you've told her to do. And she went through like, in one day, like a jar of Vaseline. And that kid was going through all of his clothes because he was peeing out of them, out of his diaper. And I was sitting there thinking, what is wrong with him? He keeps peeing all over his clothes. She did what I asked her to do. She lined that diaper with a whole can of Vaseline. And every time he peed, it just propelled plum out of the diaper. I said, Mom, I think I've made a mistake. I've never had kids and I've never had a boy, but this isn't working. What do you think we should do? She goes, Kelly, we need to stop with the Vaseline. I said, okay. Poor Carson, he's like, oh my God, Mom. Coco's laughing. He don't even know what we're talking about. Let's go to John chapter 19. We're going to look at chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. And it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. In another translation, it says, at the foot of the cross, there stood his mother. And let me just tell you, being a mother is the most wonderful, horrifying, rewarding, gut-wrenching thing that you'll probably ever do if you're a mom. And if you're going to take a page and apply it to your life as a mother, this is where you need to go. Because there her son is on the cross, and there she is watching him. And most mothers would have wanted to get him down and go up there in his place. One of the hardest things as a mom is to not want to protect your child every single moment of their life. I don't care how old they are. And if I can encourage you with this last thought as a mom, your child or your children, each one of them, have a purpose. They have a calling. And that calling is so big that at times you're going to want to try to protect them from it, protect them from the pain that it may cause them, shield them. And you know what, Alyssa? We have to let them be. What did she do? She just stood there. She supported him with what he was supposed to do with his life. There's so many times as a parent you're thinking, I don't know what to do with my kid. Have you ever thought that? I don't know what to do with them. Support them. Love on them. And it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. So one of the things that Jesus did while he was on the cross was he thought of his mother. And he made sure that she was taken care of. Being a mom is hard, but I wouldn't give that up for anything. Amen? Amen? Whatever part of your mamahood that you're in, do it with as much grace as you can. If they're little like Kayla's, I was looking at Kayla and I was thinking, you know, what mom do I just really, really admire? And let me tell you something. This little chick, I always think, I wish I could just be half the mama she is. Very patient, always just like the sweetest little voice. And them kids, I love them. But let me tell you something. I watched them in the nursery one time, and they scared me. Because there's three of them. And how old are they? Two, three, and four, if that tells you anything. And they were all hanging off of something in the nursery. The ceiling, the little clubhouse. I had to take that clubhouse out of there for the Patterson boys because I didn't want them hurting themselves on that thing. And I watched them in the nursery, and they were all hanging on stuff. And I thought, God, just help me keep them alive with no bones broken for the next 30 minutes so I can give them back to their mom in one piece. And then I thought, how does Kayla do this? But you know what? It started with a prayer cloth one day. She said, God, I want these babies. Brother Angelo gave her a prayer cloth, and he drew three babies, and he said, you're going to have kids. Don't get discouraged. Here's your prayer cloth. You're going to have three of them. Sure enough, two, three, and four. Their names all start with A's. You're one of the best moms that I know. Amen. Don't ever question yourself. You're a hero in every way. Because she deals with them babies. And 2, 3, and 4 is hard. And she still is sweet. She still does all the stuff that she does. And you know what? I'm looking at some of the best moms that I know. I could pick out each mom. And y'all are amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm going to do what I promised. Y'all stand to your feet. There is no church service tonight. I want y'all to have family time. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your mom. Oh, I have left out one bit of information. Miss Mary, you can do the harp thing if you haven't already. We are also giving away, there's some food from our grocery store that they donate to us every week. If y'all would like to get some, it's going to be on this bar over here. We have a very sweet couple in our church, and they were going to visit their mother out of town, but they like to make stuff with wood. I love people that like to make things because they're very talented. And this is like a cute little basket that they made this week for one of the mothers. And then, Brian, will you get that, what do we call that, a trellis? Only people that grow things would know that. It's beautiful, whatever it is. They've told me that this thing is for plants. Ron's like, yep, it is. You don't grow things either, do you? No, or do you? Yeah. Well, not very often. Anyways, I'm going to draw a name for this, and this is all of the mothers. Now, if you don't grow things and you don't want a trellis, just tell me and I'll pull out another name. But Keisha Lewis, here you go, sweet girl. And Sister Millie. Mom, do you grow things? Here you go. All right. There we go. We are going to pray and dismiss. Lord, I thank you, God, for this service. I thank you for all the mothers. Lord, bless each one of them. You know exactly what their need is, Lord. And I thank you that you're keeping us all safe, God, and you're causing us to be a blessing to everyone that we encounter today, God. I ask that you bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.